You're listening to DH Radio on CJMQ 88.9 FM. My name is Sheila Q. Now, if there was, you guys know that I'm a word nerd and that I was a high school librarian for 4 years from 2006 to 2010. I love to surround myself with books, to lose myself in books. And in the Eastern Townships, we have an author whose name is beginning to become synonymous with those that we know so well on the mystery scene. Minette Walters, P.D. James, Peter Robinson, Agatha Christie, Louise Penny, yes, on the phone with me now from the Eastern Townships is Louise Penny herself. How are you, Louise?
I wouldn't want to be known as the next Louise Penny. That's hideous. That's horrible. Louise, how dare you?
Louise Penny is known as the next Louise Penny.
So derivative, that Louise Penny.
Now, you're going to be among the gang at Les Correspondances d'Eastman this weekend. What an interesting event coming up. That's which is the reason for our interview this evening. But before we get to that, I want to talk about what you've been up to the last while, and this very interesting muse by the name of Inspector Gamache. Now, I have to ask, you've now got this quite an amazing series with starting with There's Still Life, Dead Cold, The Cruelest Month, The Murder Stone, The Brutal Telling, Bury Your Dead, A Trick of Light. How do you wind up with a character who contributes to you producing so much literature, so many stories?
Oh, that's a lovely way of putting it, because I do feel that he does that. If I didn't feel strongly about Gamache, I wouldn't be able to write these books. I do feel as though, it's a strange kind of relationship in that, supposedly I created him, but then I feel that he's inspired many of the stories, or at least many of the better parts of the stories. Because my books aren't really about murder. They are absolutely murder mysteries in the traditional genre, but they're really more about life than about death, and I needed a main character who was also more about life than about death, mm-hmm. who made that choice every day to stand in the light rather than in the shadows, because as we all know, I certainly know, I'm well into my 50s now, and I'm not sure you get to this age without being tempted by the shadows and knowing how easy it is to be cynical and sarcastic and how easy it is to be cruel and to find flaws.
Yeah.
That's facile. And it doesn't take any courage, doesn't take any strength. And that kind of character, while I think interesting for me anyway on the short term, isn't someone I would want to live with in my head on the long term. So I wanted someone who felt all those things, as we all do, but who chooses to stand in the light. And as a result, I think he is, for me anyway, I'm constantly discovering new things about this character, and that's what makes all of these books, and all the characters, I hope, but that's what makes these books quite interesting for me to write, and I hope for people to read.
You had to choose a roommate.
Yes, no, that's exactly it. I had to choose... And I did that deliberately. That's an interesting way of putting it, too, Sheila. I had heard, just when I was beginning the first book, I had heard, as many people had, that Christie at one stage grew very weary of Poirot,
mm-hmm.
and really lamented having created him. But he was so beloved by the rest of the world that she couldn't kill him off, she couldn't get rid of him. And so it was this love-hate relationship turning into hate-hate relationship as they went along. And I thought that would be, what a sorrow. That would be dreadful to have realized my dream of being a writer, but to be tied, anchored to a character I despised. So I thought, now, how can I make as sure as possible that doesn't happen? And I thought, well, really the best way to do it is to create a character I would marry, a man I would marry, because I would be spending the rest of my life with him. And so I gave Gamache all the qualities I admire in a man, and then I realized they're actually all the qualities I admire in a human being, man or woman.
Wow. It was funny because I was thinking, maybe rather than a roommate, it becomes a situation of a coworker, so that you know that you have a working relationship with the character. But the only other way you could possibly go would be the way that you have gone, in that here is this man who you could fall in love with.
I needed that, and I needed that intimacy with the main character, with most of the characters, but certainly with Gamache, who really is. Yeats had that saying about things fall apart, the center cannot hold, and in many of my books, it's about things falling apart, but Gamache needs to be the center that holds, and so I needed to understand him intimately, and I needed. The books aren't also really about understanding, they're about feeling, they're about intuition. And so if you come at the books just with your head, I'm hoping you will have a satisfying experience. But I think these books are ones that need to be experienced both intuitively and intellectually.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Hey, now I have a question as a townshipper.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I grew up in Richmond and moved back in 2003, and I passionately love the townships. During my day job, I help young people come to relocate here. It's
oh.
It's what I would something I
just.
You
lure them with candy.
I do.
Them?
It's la grande séduction. Oh. I just have a van with free candy written on the side.
Yes. Sugar pies.
And I drive around. Exactly. I have
oh,
sugar
Piper.
On snow. You have to crawl into the van to have sugar on snow, and away we go after that. A couple of local beers and
yes.
some, and then they're just sold immediately. So now. The question that I have as a townshipper is I can remember when you put out Still Life and then hearing more as Dead Cold came along and wondering, kind of going, you want to set it in the townships, really? And I guess it's one of those things where it's one of the where it's because it's home for us. There's kind of this part of, as much as we know it's magical, but it's still a bit of a hard sell. You know, it hasn't become the most overpopulated. People are clamoring to get here as much as they should be, and I'm kind of glad that it doesn't go too fast. We don't want it to fill up and become, you know, this a crazy metropolis, but. Was there ever, did you ever hesitate about Three Pines having this very townships rooted
no,
setting?
No, I didn't. Although once Still Life was written and I took it around to try to sell it and it got turned down by everybody, among the comments were, that nobody would be interested in a mystery set in Canada. Not specifically in the townships, but in Canada specifically.
Yeah.
I think what is being set in the townships, certainly being set in Quebec, is a huge advantage.
Yes.
Because it's for me, as most people I think who've read the books know, that character, location is character.
Mm-hmm.
The location of Three Pines, of the townships, is as strong a character as Gamache, as any of them. That there's a very keen and unmistakable sense of place. And I wanted that. You know, Emily Dickinson talked about that books are frigates, and then when you open a book, it's like stepping onto a ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I wanted. I really felt very strong that I wanted, if I was lucky enough that the books were ever published, and anyone from anywhere other than the townships ever had a chance to read them, I wanted them to have a sense of stepping onto a ship and the destination not being in doubt, that it being the eastern townships of Quebec. And again, it was most of my decisions were extremely selfish. I wanted characters I would choose as friends, a main character I would choose as a lover, and a location that I did choose as a home. Because again, I would have to live in whatever location I chose.
Yes.
Maybe for the rest of my life. And it really needed to be a place that I love. And I think that comes across. And when I give workshops or give talks to emerging writers, and I say that to them, that if you don't give your book a keen sense of place, then you may very well, and there's no absolute, but you may very well be missing a wonderful opportunity. And that any place can be riveting as long as you love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like any subject can be riveting. I could listen to someone talk about matchbooks for hours if they're passionate about it.
Yes, yeah. It's the where it transports you. That's as long as somebody can transport you, then...
That's right. I would read a book about Regina, or about... I lived in Winnipeg for many years, loved it. But, you know, it takes... It has to be more than bricks and mortar. There has to be the heart and soul of the place.
And
my
stomach
characters
too.
Are sons and daughters of this territory. There's no doubt that they also love Quebec and where they live.
Well, clearly it's... Now, okay, the 2010 Anthony Award for Best Crime Novel in the United States, four-time winner of the Agatha Award for Best Mystery. You're clearly this is, you know, New York Times bestseller. You are bringing the townships out into the world, and yet at the same time, you're increasing our population with every book. Because
although I am also murdering quite a few. So I'm hoping there'll be a kind of a yin-yang balance.
Decrease it a little, increase it a little. That just has to happen. It's the lottery, I guess. Oh my goodness! So now let's come back to Eastman, to another neck of the woods for the Eastern Townships. This weekend will be Les Correspondances d'Eastman. I love the idea that it's les recommencements. So the idea of beginnings and starting over. There's how do you feel about the idea of going with that theme in the lineup that you'll be working with this weekend?
Well, I mean, with André Jacques and Joanne Seymour and Anne Lagacé Dowson, I mean, basically, I could just sit there like a lump and it would still be a success. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm dying to hear what everybody says. And I think it's a wonderful theme. It's certainly a theme many of the theme in many of my books is about second chances.
Mm-hmm.
I've myself have been given a second chance and a second career, so I'm very aware of the power of that. And, you know, forgiveness and that sort of thing that happens also on a more spiritual level.
So it's that I like the idea. It's une littérature toujours renaissante. So it's the whole idea of rebirth.
Yeah.
So there you go. It's the idea. Well, you have to. There are the murders, and there's the rebirth occurring as well too. I love the idea of. I think that one of the most beautiful things actually that's happening in our area today and in sort of, I guess, in this generation, but as all of us live it, is the idea that rebirth isn't just a possibility. I think it's expected. So that we're no longer unfortunately trapped, like maybe Agatha Christie felt with Poirot, with certain jobs and titles and hats. We are expected to change hats. It's okay to change hats, and I think that it means that we all get to have much happier existence.
Oh, I agree, and that's beautifully put.
As
you know, how could we possibly know and choose at 22 a career that's still going to be meaningful to us at 60?
That's it. It's all about experiences and building towards the things that we want and we love.
And how many people out here, many, many, many of the people I know, both native townshippers and people who've chosen to live here, are on their second career.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Wow. Well, you know, I'm certainly glad that Gamache lured you towards, I think there's a whole seduction thing that's gone on with this muse. That's really cool. I love it. and lured you to the pen, to the keyboard and to this amazing series.
Me
now,
too.
The 30th of August is the official launch
that
of
is,
the Trick of the Light.
That's absolutely true. There is, however, a pre-launch event at Brome Lake Books in Knowlton.
Oh, wonderful.
Which is actually happening on the 27th, which is the Saturday,
yes.
at 2 p.m. And it's a ticketed event because the books aren't officially on sale. So what they're doing is they're selling tickets. And in exchange for the tickets, wink, wink, you get a book. Very clever. Nobody will figure that one out.
I love that. Now, this is the silliest thing ever, but I don't know if I'm ever really going to be able to completely shake it. I especially after being a librarian, I still judge a book by its cover. And I'm a really visual person, so maybe there's that thing, you know, if there are a number of printings of something, then I will have my favorite edition, and that is the one, you know? And this has a really beautiful, blue, fantastic cover.
Doesn't it? I love it. Now, what I love about the covers now is that I think it's taken the publishers a little while to understand that the books, one of the themes through the books, too, is about duality.
Yes.
It's about the difference between what we say and what we think, between outward appearance and inward thoughts, and, you know, the light and the dark.
Yeah.
And so that this cover really plays on that nuance of light and dark.
Now, who did the artwork for it?
It's someone at the publishers in New York.
Wow, it's a great selection. Anyway, it definitely stands out from the. I guess with each one, that's part of it. It's to have it give it its whole own character as
yes.
well.
Yes, but you're right. Good, but covers and titles are very important.
Yes.
Yeah. And I do the same thing. I will pick up a book, and they say that's what they want. They want you to reach out and pick up a book. Obviously, you're not going to buy it until you pick it up. But particularly if it's an author you don't know, the cover has to be compelling.
I've come to accept the fact that I'm not very good at keeping my books unworn. they're always going to look red, always. Always. Well, it doesn't help that I've got a pair of boys, small boys that live in my house that have at times made victims of of them as well, so there's that too. But my goodness, so this this week now, it's the 5th of August that you're going to be at
Les Correspondances. Friday. Exactly. Yes. This Friday at 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock. That's just wonder at Café Littérature. So it's the Terrasse de la Marjolaine, where you will be with this great lineup again.
Yeah. I'm so excited about being on this panel with these people. It's a great privilege for me. I'm really looking forward to it.
For anybody that wants more information, you can go to lescorrespondances.ca, or if you even start to Google it, you get to les and then C-O-R-R, and it'll be the first thing that's going to pop up in your little drop-down window. So go and find out more information. For anybody who just wants to be transported and fall in love with literature, whether it's for a second time, a fourth time, a millionth time, or for the first time, you really need to take in this amazing event happening in our midst this weekend. Les Correspondances d'Eastman once again. And for more on Louise Penny, you can go to louisepenny.com.
Thank
Amazing.
You. This has been so much fun, Sheila.
Well, thank you, Louise Penny, and have an absolutely wonderful time in Eastman this weekend.
Thank you.